So I wake up this morning, and guess what is sitting on the end of my bed?
A turd?
Yes, Bill, a turd.
Ew, gross.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hey, this is Scott Kurtz. I am the creator of PvP, and I am calling to say that you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey everybody, hello Extra Life Radio faithful and new people, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is, of course, the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. I'm Scott Johnson. I'll be your host for the next foreseeable hour. I'm also the owner and purveyor, I don't know what the word is, of MyExtraLife.com. If you don't know what it is, go check it out. Three comics a week, whole bunch of sketches every day, blog full of crap, forums, all kinds of good times. So go over there and check it out. You'll be glad that you did. We have sponsors, but I'll talk more about them at the end of the show. Just kind of mixing things up. So stay tuned for that. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2008. And this is, of course, show 168. Joining me, as per usual, would be Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com. More importantly, ComicsCoastToCoast.com. Brian, hello.
Hi, this is Scott Johnson, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Dude, you're all like fuzzed out all of a sudden. What happened to you?
You've changed, man.
Are you doing it like a? You're running like torrents or something? What are you doing over there?
Just looking at some porn.
Well, you are very slow though, Brian. Yeah. I mean, you've always been slow.
Yeah, but you sounded great before
this time.
Show.
It's sort of like your connection.
Something is jacked up, baby. Here, I'll quit video broadcasting. That'll help. Joining us, you heard the voice already, now let's meet the man. After missing us for a week as he waited for internet connectivity at his new apartment, welcome back, Obsidian from commissioncomic.com. Hello, O.
Hey, Scott, it's great to be here. It's great for you to have me.
It is great have you. For us to have you here means great things.
But not that way. I mean, you don't have me.
Have you, no. We just sort of have you here.
I know you wanna.
I'm happy to report two things. My cough is nearly gone.
Nearly?
Yeah, after a month.
How long does this take for you?
One month. It's a month today. Today is a month. Excuse me. It is a month.
Happy cough day.
2 days ago, and the cough switch is still coming from Daryl, who so kindly put together a cough switch for me.
You're basically, you're not sick. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle choice. It's a little like my gay period in the late 70s.
Is your gay period like a menstrual period?
No,
I mean,
no,
do you get it every 27 days and stuff like that?
Period of time.
Oh.
Brian, how you doing now? You sound any better?
Do I sound any better now?
Yeah, a little better. You're a little quiet. I don't know what you did. You did something.
That's his personality. You need to respect that.
All right. Spend the whole time trying
Am
to figure
I any better
that out.
Now?
Yeah,
how about now?
A little better. Now? A little better. A little better.
No, Brian. You don't need to change anything. I mean, if you're a quiet person, he should respect that.
Should we just stop the whole show so that you know I can be better, or you know?
I don't know. Let's see how you improve after a few minutes here, and we'll see how things go.
You would make an excellent emote, though.
I'm hearing everything O is doing really loud and clear. Like they're shuffling papers around and messing with stuff. What is all that?
It's sex.
Sex. Good times. All right, well, let's jump right in. We have a lot to talk about, and I want to talk, first of all, about something I have reconnected with after a number of years.
Scientology.
No Scientology. I still am of the opinion that one of the greatest TV shows ever created, certainly one of the funniest, was Freaks and Geeks. It was on NBC back in 1999.
I could have sworn you were going to say Growing Pains, but yeah, sure.
Oh, my gosh, dude, no. Growing Pains sucked. 99 to 2000, one season only, 18 episodes, funny as crap. Produced at the time by Judd Apatow, who is now famous for such things as The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Undeclared, which was on TV for a while on Fox, launching the careers of people like the dude in Spider-Man. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He played the rich dude. Oh, crap. I should. Oh, James Franco, that guy. Seth Rogen was in Freaks and Geeks and in Undeclared, and then pretty much in everything else that Judd Apatow has ever done since. And Superbad and all these kind of movies and stuff, this guy's sort of in charge of, or not in charge of, but has had a hand in. And a lot of the people involved with Freaks and Geeks have kind of gone on with that. Well, nobody knows this if you haven't seen the series, but it was seriously 18 episodes of some of the funniest, most interesting TV I think ever. And I think it paved the way for such shows as Scrubs, Arrested Development. I could name others. There's lots of others, other shows that seem normal to us now, but at the back in 99 or 2000 would have seemed really avant-garde, and this show was definitely that way. And this, I just don't think the network knew what the hell to do with it other than cancel it. So, which is unfortunate. If they'd given it a chance, that show would have really been strong. Now, oh, I know you've never seen this, but Brian, have you partaken in the Freaks and Geeks ever?
No, sir. I need to watch that.
Slackers.
That's been on my list for a while.
Yeah. I'm calling you a slacker. I'm calling you out. That's too bad because it's great. And if you guys do anything for the next little while where you rent TV shows, put this on your list because it's great. Now I'm going to play a couple of clips and express why I think this show is great. Now anybody who knows the show knows who Bill is. If you don't know who Bill is, then you suck. But I'm going to play a couple of...
Guess I suck then, huh?
This is the kind of conversation that goes on in the show, and I'm going to hook this up so that people in the chat, who I forgot to mention, hello, chat room, I'm going to hook this up so that you can hear...
Sad.
All right. I was just saying how sad he is that when I reconnect Skype, which we just did, that he's lower on the list than Brian. Or why is he... In other words, why do I add him to the call last? And it's because he's... The letter
it's
O
because
comes
I'm
later.
Colombian, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all. It's I'm
he's alphabetically
I'm,
lower.
Yeah, I'm discriminating against your lineage.
I'm alphabetically challenged.
By the way, do you know people still play Lineage? Do you know that? My gosh, what a bunch of freaks!
Well, isn't there like Lineage 2?
Yeah, and there's Lineage, but still Lineage 1 has the most players, and it's this crappy 2D, like 3 frames of animation per character, piece of shud. And people play it constantly.
Ooh, you're going to get so much mail for that.
We'll see. From what? All the Koreans that listen? Probably not.
Well, why don't you criticize something like EverQuest?
All right. Or, EverQuest sucks.
While you're at it, you can criticize people that still play Neverwinter Nights 1.
Actually, it was a good game, so good on them. But EverQuest? Poopski. All right. Let's play a clip from Freaks and Geeks. This is in the cafeteria. This is Sam, Bill, and Neil. And again, if you've seen the show, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. I wish I could do a visual on this. However, I cannot. But I will play this, and your life will be better. Here is that scene.
So I wake up this morning, and guess what is sitting on the end of my bed?
A turd?
Yes, Bill, a turd.
Ew, gross.
All right. This is a short one. Anyway, that's a great scene, great episode. It was awesome. Now I've saved the clip I want to play last. And if you guys think I'm getting this stuff out early in the show, it's on purpose. But I wanted to give this tribute early and fast because we have plenty of other crap to cover. One great thing, or one of the things O will appreciate about the show is the very last episode involved them. This is episode 18. Involved all the nerds that are all part of the AV club at the high school, and one of the jocks who got stuck in there because he tried to set off the alarm during a test. A fire alarm during school. It's a long story why he's in there, but they've all decided they're playing D&D that night. And after discussing what module they're going to play and blah, 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 they talk this jock into going. I'm skipping way past all that to the point where they actually start the game, and I think it's pretty good stuff. Check it out.
Roll your dice and find out what your ability scores are.
What are those?
Oh, well, that tells you if you're strong or smart or how good you are with a weapon.
What are you, some super smart guy?
Oh, I don't have a character. I'm the Dungeon Master. I control the game and act out all the characters you meet along the way.
And Daniel, watch out for him. He's sneaky. Yeah, he thinks being the Dungeon Master gives him the license to mess with our heads.
Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps I should let you encounter kittens and grandmas so as not to upset you.
Come on, Daniel. Roll the dice. I want to see what your character's going to be.
All right. There goes nothing. Dwarf? I don't want to be a dwarf. I wanted to be, like, a ninja or a fighter.
Well, dwarves are fighters. They're really good at it.
Are you a dwarf?
No. I'm Kraggenwar the Destroyer.
You're lucky, man. I want to be some huge destroyer guy.
Dwarves can do a lot of things that huge guys can't do.
It's true. Take it from me. Yeah, dwarves are really tough. They're good at finding jewels.
All right, fine. I'll be a dwarf. But my name is Carlos.
Carlos the Dwarf?
Yeah, you got a problem with that, Gorthon?
All right. It's good stuff. You got to take my... If this all sounds a little out of context, trust me. It'll be some of the best 18 hours you'll ever see on TV. And I've been meaning to bring it up on the show for ages.
Wow,
and I always
it's
forget.
An 18-hour long show.
Pretty much.
No wonder they canceled it.
Well, yeah. That would be a little long for one episode. But it's really good stuff. For some reason, we lost Brian, and he's not coming back. I don't know where he went. He disappeared.
So well, I don't know. Maybe South Carolina got canceled.
I don't know. It's about time. There'll be no writing campaign for that. I can tell you that right now. Anyway,
well,
check it out.
From the guy that lives in Utah.
Yeah, that's true. Freaks and Geeks on DVD. It came out in 2006. Why did they wait so long, you ask? Because a lot of times when you go to DVD... They can't get the rights to the music that was used during the show's original airing, and they'll use something as an alternative, some kind of freebie stuff or something they got licensed to that isn't the same. And the producers and directors felt really strongly that the show needed the music that came first, and so they waited until they could get it all, and they got it all in 2006, which is really smart because the movie's full of great old 80s rock and roll. The show's set in the 80s, 1980 to be exact. And it was worth the wait. All right. I don't know where Brian is, so that's okay. We'll continue on.
Yeah. Until he shows up again, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. It's weird. Wanted to talk or briefly mention, if you're interested in a great video game, you might want to go out and get your hands on Burnout Paradise. I've been playing the poopski out of that game, and it's awesome.
Well, I've always wanted to play that game, to be honest, because the whole concept of just crashing cars is just so appealing to me.
Yeah. Well, this thing does it better than anything else. Have you played any of the Burnout series before?
No. Burnout doesn't come out for the PC. I remember, actually, I really wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And what happened was I was looking for it on the PC. It didn't come out, and I found a sort of similar game that was called Flat Out.
Yeah. That was
similar. And I played that one. Yeah. I played Flat Out too. It's a lot of fun, but Burnout does look a lot better.
Yeah, Burnout is an amazing game. The crashes at this point are almost an art form. They're amazing.
You know what we should do? You know what? We should call Brian.
Is he on again? Where is he?
Yes, he is.
He's not showing up on mine. Crack smoking, Brian. Hold on. There he is. Sheesh. Let me just put him in. Killing me. Okay, that might be good. Okay, Brian, you're there.
Yes, I am.
That's excellent. It's good work. I'm kidding. I apologize for whoever you use for your internet, because I am, of course, responsible for them. I was just telling the fine people about Burnout Paradise and how awesome it is.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is really great. Now, the difference between Burnout Paradise and previous Burnout titles were all about crashing into stuff and making lots of noise and racing around and, you know.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. That's all good.
Which sounds like fun.
It is. This game is a bit of a departure. I would call it more of an evolution. Just edging upon revolution, perhaps, but not quite. It's a huge open city called Paradise City, and yes, they have the Guns N' Roses song during the opening credits.
I just wanted to ask that.
Yeah, they did. It's the first thing I noticed.
I love that song.
Yeah, I do too. I love Guns N' Roses. There's nothing wrong with those guys. If they weren't pod unfriendly, I'd play them right now. But that game has got this huge city called Paradise City. It's got everything you can imagine. This place way up in the mountains with like observatories and mansions, and then all the way down to the docks and the Navy Yard, and then a lot of city gridlock kind of streets, and then a lot of suburbs, and I mean, every kind of thing you can think of inside of a major city, you know, coastal area.
I suppose that the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Kind of, yes. And this, you know what it's like? It's like The Simpsons. There's everything is in Springfield, right? It's like that. It's like it's not cartoony, but there's just, you know, the whole stereotype of what every city has. This city has it, and it's a huge place, and it's more like a big sandbox this time around. So you don't just do races. You run around town in this big place. You can do stunts and find hidden stuff and take giant jumps off of bridges and try to land them and all this stuff. Just that's kind of fun. But ultimately, if you want the challenges, you pull up to a street light, you hit brake and gas at the same time, and boom, you start a challenge. And it might be, you know, one of these burning run challenges or the whole takedown thing like they've done in the past. In other cases, it's just racing. There's this stunt mode thing where you take on the other players. Online mode is amazing. I played, I don't know, probably the most time I've spent in the game so far has been racing other dudes online, and that is a lot of fun because what's gone now is those set tracks where you had, you know, big arrows telling you where to go, and yeah, there was one way to get there. That's gone. Now what you have is this huge city, same city every time, but the routes are varied, you know, infinitely. Because think about it, like, if you're in a city and you got, you know, I don't know, 600 roads that all connect in different ways, you could make, you know, times that by how many ways you could turn to make a track. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that. So you're flying down the road. Instead of seeing giant fake arrows point and go left, your blinker comes on your car. And this little street indicator thing up at the corner comes on. It says, okay, you need to turn this direction if you're going to stay, you know, ahead of these guys. You can also sometimes find shortcuts that'll get you there even quicker. But it's a lot more frenetic and crazy because the game isn't making you go anywhere. It's just basically saying, look, you know, if you're going to win, you got to go this way. And that's pretty cool. I'm totally digging it. So highest recommendation for driving games for me for Burnout Paradise. You guys will want to check it out. And Brian, you played Burnout before, right?
Oh yeah, I played Burnout before. Love it.
That's good stuff. Great series, and I think this is a great place to take it. I feel, you know, it feels like maybe they did all they could maybe do, with the old way. So they had to try something new, and this is definitely new. All right, so there's that, and
only for the 360, I suppose.
360, PS3, and that's it. So the two big the big power consoles got Burnout Paradise, and as far as I know, there is no PC game in the works, nor is there a Wii game in the works that I know of, which is too bad for Wii owners. Speaking of Wiis, can we talk just real quickly about the status of O's Wii?
Let's do it.
It's hanging again to the right.
Oh, good. All right. A lot of people have been asking about this. We had a PayPal account set up just for it, and Obsidian is getting a Wii. We've got it all taken care of. We just got to get a few details worked out, get it mailed, get it all protected and shipped and all that. Something interesting came out of this, though, and I wanted to bring this up. That's the only reason we're bringing it up today. And by the way, thanks to everybody who's contributed. Somebody had mentioned this idea. I have been, anyone who listens to The Instance will know this is true. Both Randy and I think that gold farming in World of Warcraft, and you'll see how this is connected in a minute, is kind of a hideous thing, and it kind of ruins the game experience, or can for other players in the game. And so we are very anti-gold farming and think it's kind of a crappy practice, and we're kind of on Blizzard's side with this and so on and so forth. I don't want to get in a big argument with that. That's just how we feel. All right. Well, somebody basically called me out and said, well, wait, you know, you can't have it both ways. What's the difference? If you're saying it's terrible to gold farm, but hey, it's okay to get a Wii, and then let's mod chip his Wii, and while we're at it, let's make sure he can download games from the internet and pirate all the games he needs, because this thing's been mod chipped, and there you go. We're sending some nice piracy down there to Colombia. And I don't know. It's an interesting point. I don't know that they're exactly the same. But here's how I answered it. Or my answer is this. I think gold farming hurts the game. That's my point. I don't see how gold farming is like piracy. I see it as some, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know how you connect the two and say that's like piracy. The reason that I'm great with O getting this, and by the way, I should mention, my Wii is not mod chipped. My Wii was paid for in full retail. All the games I have for my Wii are purchased games, not pirated games. And that's true of all my systems, including my PC. I don't have a single computer game that's even pirated right now. So you might ask yourself, well, why is it? Why are you sending O all this stuff so he can pirate games? Well, the answer is simple. We really like O, and he has no way to get this stuff in a reasonable way otherwise. So, in other words, I'm being hypocritical in this one point, which is to say, I don't care. O gets his Wii, and he can do whatever he wants with it.
Well, I don't really think you're being hypocritical, Scott.
Tell me your thoughts. Tell me what you think. I'm talking too much anyway. Tell me what you think about this.
Well, it's very different. First of all, because gold farmers do in fact ruin the game for other players.
Yeah.
And you should not be. I mean, the game should not be any different for you if I'm playing it. I mean, if I got like a pirate version of Mario Galaxy, that shouldn't make the game any worse for you. Now, of course, a lot of people say this hurts the developers a lot. But again, it shouldn't hurt the developers at all, not here, because we are not a public that is targeted by the by the people at Nintendo. They really don't care about us. So again, I mean, if you got like the whole, I mean, if Nintendo was losing, Nintendo is not losing money on me.
Yeah, that's true. Because you weren't going to spend it anyway. And the, you know, the truth is, I don't know, dude. I just want you to have something fun down there, and I know you can't do much. Like, I know you can't you can't afford the 8 billion pesos it costs to get your hands on Paper Mario, whatever. You know?
Well, yeah, and there's that other thing. I mean, if you look at it from that other point of view, a Wii over there is costing how much?
Wii here is $250.
Okay, now if you're looking at it from that point of view, the Wii there is $250. Here it's 1,000,000 pesos, which is more than double what you guys are paying for it. And each game is like 170,000 pesos, which is almost triple, if not more.
Yeah, see, than what it costs over there. It's just freaking crazy. It's crazy. Why
so
is
it's
it?
Just not fair. Yeah. I mean, it's just not fair. So basically, it's not going to ruin the game for anybody. Nintendo is not really losing any money on me because, I mean, they don't even care about Columbia. They probably don't even know it exists. I mean, the Wii is mostly just imported, you know, they import just a few of them. And, you know, that's a very small sale. So basically,
you and sell to Shakira.
Actually, Shakira does not. Shakira doesn't live in Colombia. Actually,
she lives here.
So,
right?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Well, not in Utah goes, though. I mean, she's not. She's not that tasteless.
Yeah, no.
Heaven's she does go there to get her weed though.
Yeah, I'm having deja vu. I swear we've talked about Shakira getting a weed before. Have we done that?
But that's basically it. I mean, you got, of course, gold farmers do hurt the game. I mean, people that are playing the game, gold farmers make the game less enjoyable for them. But me having a Wii is really, I'm sorry. I know this sounds a little bit harsh, but it's really none of your business. And it shouldn't affect the way you game or anybody at all.
Yeah.
Does gold farming hurt the gaming if you're not playing PvP?
Well, yeah, because in PvP, it doesn't matter the type of server.
Well, PvP is going to matter because, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is gold farming's got zero to do with what kind of server it is. It has everything to do with disrupting the way that the game works so that players who want to just genuinely use the game as it was intended aren't able to do that. There's a lot of other things, too, like some of these guys are full-on hacking accounts, and there's all kinds of weird little shifty things going on. I just don't see the connection. And by the way, I'm not calling out this guy who has this opinion.
A little jealous.
He should have this opinion. It's totally valid for him to think any way he wants to. I don't have a problem with that at all. I just not seeing the connection exactly.
It's not about calling people out, and it's not about saying, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. It's just about, you know, people, you need to understand that things aren't the same all around the world, and that, you know, in some places of the world, the situation is a little bit different.
I'll tell you what it's like. This is what it's like. People have issue with this. There's all this news lately about cloned food if you guys have heard about this, but the basically what's happened is they figured out how to clone food. So they can say, okay, we're going to clone corn, or we're going to clone beef, you know, which would be a cow. We're going to clone these different kinds of food stuff so that there's more of it and we can get it around to more people. And people with plenty of food driving their Mercedes around with their damn stupid opinions have all these issues with it and have all these problems with it. It's not natural. It's this and it's that. And I say this. For a bunch of people who already eat more preservatives and freaking crap in their food, they're worried about cloning good food and getting it to the parts of the world that don't have access to it. This is not a problem, people. This is a good thing. This is human innovation that is good. This doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean the robots are going to rise up and freaking take us out. So relax.
All right, this show's getting too controversial.
No kidding. What's the political? Jeez, listen to us today.
No, but yeah, I mean, no, it's just that a lot of people, and it can be with video games, it can be with clone food, or hey, let's get even more controversial. It can be with stem cell research and everything. I mean, sometimes you have to take the point of view of how many people you can help with this and how many people it affects negatively. Like, for example, you know, in the case of me getting a Wii modified, that's not going to really affect you. Cloned food, well, I really don't know much about it. But if it's not affecting the other crops and it's actually helping people that are going hungry get something to eat, well, then what's the big deal?
There is no big deal.
If it makes y'all feel better, just pretend. Oh my God, are you okay?
You all right there? That wasn't me, dude.
No, actually, that was me.
You all right?
Oh yeah, I'm all right. But you see, we get some really big bugs here.
Oh, you just killed a bug, dude.
I don't really know what it was called, and I normally don't kill anything.
Yeah.
But this was a dangerous bug, and it's still alive. Ah, crap.
Oh, dude. Eat it. Clone it. It'll make clone it and eat it.
That's what I say. If it make you feel any better, if it makes your conscience feel better, just don't think of, is stealing these games. He's actually cloning the games.
Ah, see?
and that may make you feel a little better.
Thank you, Brian. Bringing a little sense to the table. I appreciate it.
Wow, that is one resilient bug.
Dude, you're a little focused on your damn bug. Anyway.
Does it have a finger?
It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It's a very dangerous bug, and I have to kill it before it stings me.
And it has opposable thumbs, and it's a terrible bug. So, look.
Oh, it is actually a very dangerous animal.
Bottom line is, getting a Wii is not the same as gold farming. I hope we can all agree on that. That just seems silly to me. I think you're just asking
about the morality of it, how you can have morals on one thing but not the other. But
that's probably honestly, right.
I don't see any other connection otherwise. I mean, there's not much argument there.
Yeah. And you know what? You may think I'm an amoral pig, and that's okay. My big concern here is that we get something cool that he can't get where he's at.
Yeah.
That's the main
thing. Besides, I mean, laws... I mean,
are meant to be broken.
No, not that laws are meant to be broken, but... this could also be very controversial, but sometimes you have to... It's not that you have to break the law. Sometimes you have to think about it a little bit. I mean, you can't just follow every single law blindly.
Yeah.
Some things are just not fair, and I personally think that if you bring something like a Nintendo Wii, for example, at almost four times what people in other places of the world are paying for it, well, you deserve to have people buy it and do stuff to it, because you're really not being fair.
Yeah.
That is actually a very common point of view with piracy. I mean, a lot of people that practice piracy throughout the world, and I'm not talking about people like me that we just torrent stuff and stuff like that, but people that are actually distributors and stuff like that, they just say, well, look, I mean, if you're overpricing everything, what do you expect me to do?
Yeah. Well, in some cases where it's just plain not available, and that's a lot of that is true with how you'd have to get console games where you live, but it's also true of things like, what if I want some vintage jazz band from the 60s that's not being published anymore? And I can get it on Pirate Bay or something, but I can't get it anywhere else. Even though I'm willing to pay for it, nobody's willing to sell it to me. So I'm just going to go get the damn thing.
How the crap is that bug still alive?
Oh, look at you. All right, perfect time to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, much more, I think we're going to bring Randy in and talk about his motion sickness that he had at Cloverfield. And, of course, he's our resident movie freak. It'll be good to have him again. And we have a few more things after that as well. So join us when we return right here on ELR.
What is this, Bizinha? There is more here than usual.
We could not do business without you. The money is merely a token of our appreciation.
And we're back. Welcome back to the show. We are back. I'm done being on my stump of political whatever rhetoric. I will not do it anymore because that is not what this show is about. I'm sure there's plenty of podcasts out there that'll bore you to death with that kind of crap. All right, let's welcome to the show our I'm going to call him the Extra Life movie freak. When he comes on, he talks about movies. Randy, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
I am just an urchin living under the street. Hard case, tough to beat, charity case.
Wow.
You know the rest.
Look at you. Now, I got a question for you because you're the only one here who's seen, what the hell's it called? Cloverfield.
Oh really? Brian, you missed that one so far?
Yeah, I didn't get to go because you know why?
Why?
Because they predicted snow. And so we couldn't go because we was afraid we was going to get caught in the snow. Did it snow?
And are you allergic to snow or something?
Do they? If they had warnings here that said, "Oh, it's going to snow," that made everyone stay home, we would all be freaking hermits. But you know what? This is how it is in the South. They don't get snow a lot. So yeah. When you guys
but that's why I'm asking. I mean, what are you allergic to snow or something?
Car not go well in snow.
I love those videos they show on the morning news of cars sliding down snow streets and crashing into things.
Yeah. It's always very indicative of most of the people, not just the stuff that makes the news. You know what? I could do an entire show about the news and how stupid it is.
Oh, so could I.
Oh, dude. It's one thing I don't miss about regular TV. The news. Anyway, what was I getting at? Oh, so Brian didn't go because of the snow. I didn't go because I honestly part of my reason was because of Randy's experience at this film, because I don't want to pay for this experience. Yeah. So, Randy, just give us a quick breakdown of what happened.
And I didn't go, but everybody knew that.
Yeah,
because
we knew
I'm Colombian, and we're not getting that movie.
You can download something with some...
And that's not fair.
Yeah, you can get...
well, the movie is all over the internet, but...
But it's got people's heads. It's got people's heads in it, getting their popcorn and stuff. I hate that.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
I hate that. Anyway, so what happened, Randy? How did it go to the theater for you?
Well, to get past what you're alluding to, I the last time I vomited just immediately after watching something was when I was a child. When I was 7 or 8 years old. It was more to do with what I ate than what was on the screen. The movie was The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, and, dude, you puked in The Wrath of Khan?
I was
no, after.
Oh, okay. Puked after.
I was a little kid, and they put some worms in some dude's ears, and I was gone.
Okay,
but you know it's actually kind of funny because you can just imagine that he probably puked when he said when he yells Khan.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like Khan.
Possible.
Anyway, so it's been a long time for you.
You're right. I don't go into Cloverfield thinking, oh, this one's going to make me puke. I mean, I've seen Breaking the Waves, I've seen City of God, I've seen Blair Witch Project, and so I obviously don't have that as an expectation at all, although I know that some percentage of the population has motion sickness naturally.
Sure. They're sensitive to it. Yeah.
Maybe 5% of the people who see this movie are going to feel very, very queasy.
Yeah.
And I really almost made it. I mean, I made the mistake of eating really bad food while sitting in the trailers in front of the movie. And then also we sit really close to the screen. We like to be up front.
That makes it way worse.
Oh yeah, right. Because you can't see anything around the screen to center yourself. So, and I like sitting close. That's another thing. I'm known in, you know, among our movie aficionados as front row Joe, because I love to be up close where I can't see off the screen. I like immersion.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you like to read subtitles short. From. You like to be able to have your head turn exactly 180 degrees when reading.
Anyway. Oh, and we're also in the largest screen in Central Texas, by the way. Also, there's that.
Wow. Jeez.
So you're really okay. So anyway, shaky. Truck couldn't make it. With about 20 minutes left to go, I had to leave the theater, and I couldn't go back in. I was outside. I went to the bathroom. I came out. I started to go back in, and I was, you know, like the whole world was kind of moving around, so I just had to stay outside. And there were several other people out there, too. There was maybe 400 people in the theater, maybe 7 or 8 standing outside.
Oh, I feel horrible. Did you see Cloverfield? No, no. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's right. That's right. Some guy standing outside of Juno talking about
So
I gotta ask though do like first person shooters make you sick?
No not at all. And that's the thing, never expected this. I really never expected this. Just one of those things, something about the exact way it was shot.
Yeah,
it just got me.
Yeah,
so
that's like my let me say this before you continue. I got my brother-in-law only gets sick playing Call of Duty games and nothing else. Everything else is great, but those games get him. Something about the engine, something about the frame rate, something about the way it bobs. He doesn't know what, but yeah, so I totally get what you're saying.
So everybody I know thinks that I hate the movie because I left and didn't go back in. And I don't know if I really like the movie because the first thing they tell me when they come out is, you got to see the end to know if you like this movie. Apparently, you know, the greatest things in the movie happen in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I've been told that the monster is spectacular.
Yeah, I hear it's good.
I completely agree. I got to see the rest of the film yesterday. A friend who is a manager at a movie theater, you know, told me, "Hey, come by and see me. You know, bring me a
bucket."
Yeah. No, actually, they started handing out bags to anybody who wanted them going in, like you're getting on a plane.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
So, dead serious.
Oh my
gosh,
that is not cool, dude.
It is cool.
That is
it's
not
awesome.
What I go to movies for, dude. I don't want to be handed a sick bag.
That says a lot about the movie. I mean, it's. It really says a lot about the movie. I mean, I remember those rumors. I don't know if this is an urban legend or if it is actually true, you know, about people that would get heart attacks watching The Exorcist. And, I mean, yeah, I'm really sorry for you if you had a heart attack and died watching The Exorcist. But I think that says a lot about the movie.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
Doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
Twice in my brother-in-law's life, he's had a guy sitting next to him on an airplane die.
Die?
That says a lot about the airplane.
What in the crap?
You know, like the first time for my brother-in-law, it was really remarkable. But the second time, it was frightening. I mean, just absolutely. Yeah. And also, the second time they had gotten off the ground and they were well underway, and there was nothing they could do. They couldn't move the body. They moved my brother-in-law.
Okay, good.
But you know, but they couldn't move the body and just
it's a lot more fun to just visualize your brother-in-law with his tray of food.
I'll just stay here. Can I have his food?
Dude, that's crazy. Sorry, I'm a little floored twice. That's like,
I'll bet that the third time he's not gonna care.
He won't care as much.
Man. Or maybe, you know, next time he gets on a plane, somebody sits next to him and he's like, you know, you're going to die probably.
Stewardess, this guy smells funny. Was it a traumatic experience for him? Was that something
Yes, the second time, definitely. The guy had a heart attack, kind of seized around a little bit. It was really awful.
Terrible. Okay, so, anyway, back to your thing. Sorry.
Okay.
So
that was so shocking.
We finish. I get to go in, see the last 20 minutes of the film, sat in the very back of the theater, all the way up to the top of the theater, and then that's that. Saw the rest of it, enjoyed it. I gave it a very positive review. I may have graded it a little higher than I should have, and thinking of with a really long view, I kind of graded it before I really thought about comparing it to other films because there's very little to compare it to. It's kind of in a genre by itself.
Yeah,
and I gave it an 8 out of 10, maybe an A- on a grade scale, and
wow.
It just.
That's high.
It's really for what that movie sets out to do, it makes no mistakes. And I just thought that was what's so good about it.
You think you'd do better in a small screen environment, like get that at home on a widescreen without having the 70 millimeter hugeness?
Right. If you have any doubt about your susceptibility to motion sickness, you watch this at home where you can see things on the wall around your screen.
I was gonna say, do you like sit really close to TV? Randy, move. I can't see through you, Randy.
Oh. Front row at home. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's way awesome. All right. Well, there you go. So
you recommend it.
High score
should,
on the movie.
I should have torn it. Scott should see it. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Scott should pay to go see. O should get it for free, right?
Well, I love going to the movie theater, but it's not coming here.
It's not fair. Brian, it isn't fair.
Not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
Well, first cough of the show. All right. Can we move on to a quick topic that is still movie related? The new James Bond movie was announced. It is got a name that I think is really stupid, but maybe, just maybe, I don't know about something in the pantheon of books or something else that would make this name make sense, but the new film is called Quantum of Solace.
I think that's an awesome name.
I think it's terrible. It's like Attack of the Clones or something.
I think it's irrelevant.
Well, I know you think it's irrelevant, but listen, Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls, cool name. I know some people have issues with it. I like it.
It's all a matter of taste.
Yeah, but James Bond. Go ahead,
Brian. It's a James Bond movie. Don't be comparing James Bond titles to other movies because they got a whole thing.
Yeah, but look.
Do I have to remind you about Octopussy?
No one ever has to remind me because it's always on my mind. But look, what I'm saying is, in the James Bond movies. Okay, how many are there? There's like 50 or something. I don't know how many there are. Whatever there is,
it's like 20 or
20
something
or 25. Yeah. So there's a ton of those movies. All of them, they aren't James Bond, Goldmember or Goldfinger. I got my satire mixed with my real movie, but. Yeah, but I mean, they're never like the subtitle thing where it's called James Bond colon something. It's called, you know, GoldenEye, or it's called whatever it is. So Live and Let Die, whatever. So this movie is not going to roll off the tongue like Casino Royale or any of these other names. It's going to sound hard to say, dude, did you go see Quantum of Solace yet? That sounds like something medical.
Scott, really, honestly, I mean... You're not making a point here.
Yes, I am. No, who is no, it? This really, is how not. You do it. This is what you do. You talk to your buddies. What'd you think of? They're not going to say, what'd you think of Quantum? I'm going to say, freaking screw you, and don't ever say that name again, because it's stupid. It's stupid.
No. I mean, you're just the same as Brian that hates Steam because it's called Steam.
Been to see QoS? Oh, it was tight.
But, dude, I... But I like Steam. I like Steam. Steam is a good name.
I just want to remind you, like, for example, with Casino Royale, or however you pronounce the damn thing. Remember the first time they announced Daniel Craig was going to be James Bond?
Yeah.
Everybody freaked out. Everybody went like, you know, this is not going to work. Or need I remind you with the Nintendo Wii? Everybody thought it was stupid. The name just grows on you.
Yeah, but that name's still stupid. The Wii is a stupid name. The Wii is a stupid name. Daniel Craig is still ugly.
Yeah, but it grew on you.
No, you're right. But what I'm saying is they had a point. Daniel Craig was the big complaint that was he wasn't suave enough and he was kind of ugly and rough. And the truth is...
And he's still one of the best James Bonds there's ever been.
I think he is the best James Bond that's ever been. And I would say partially it's because he's a little ugly and a little rough. I like that about it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying...
So you don't know the story behind the movie, and who knows? Maybe once you know the actual story behind the movie, you're going to say, hey, that name is actually pretty clever.
But it doesn't change. If there's a movie called The Gymnasium of Fear, it will never change the fact, no matter how good that movie is, that I hate the name Gymnasium.
You know what? I think we need Randy on this. Randy?
I'm of two minds here. I'm sorry to say.
Randy.
All right, two minds.
One, I don't understand why they insist on picking Ian Fleming names.
All right.
I think they need to get out. They've done it 21 times. This is going to be number 22. It's a short story in the collection called For Your Eyes Only. And if they follow this sort of thinking and going with the Ian Fleming names, they're going to have to call a movie Risico. They're going to have to call one the Hildebrand Rarity. I mean, there's some really bad names in those short stories. So I don't understand why they're doing it, especially when you consider that they're going to have to completely rewrite the story. It's going to have to be completely different. I read that book years and years ago, and I don't remember anything in Quantum of Solace that's a Bond movie. It's not. It's not at all. He's just barely there.
So Quantum of Solace is, that's what I wanted to confirm, that that's an actual Ian Fleming name for some story or book or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so I will give you I'll give him that. I get it. I'm of that half of Brandy's mind that says, what does this have to do with anything? So why do they insist on using the name, though?
Let's just satisfy Scott and call it James Bond 21.
Yes, please.
That makes you happy?
Roman numerals.
Well, but I don't know. I mean, I've never really been a James Bond fan.
Yeah.
I mean, a fan. I've never really been a James Bond fan. To be honest, the only James Bond movie I have ever liked is actually Casino Royale. But no, really. I mean, hey, it's my opinion.
Spy Who Loved Brian Me, hates, baby. Spy Who Loved Me.
I don't care. Brian hates Steam.
All right, Randy, your other mind. We want to hear your other mind.
But I did want to ask Randy, because I know Randy is knowledgeable about this. I understand that that James Bond isn't really all that much like, you know, the novels and that he's very modified, that he's very different.
I disagree with that, and it varies from
No,
film
I'm
to
asking.
Film. Yeah,
you can't disagree with my question.
You sounded like you sound like a Jewish guy. No, I'm asking. Answer the damn question.
Well,
sorry, Randy.
Okay, but it varies from film to film and book to book. It really does. There are some that I think were a lot closer, and some that aren't. I mean,
what do we go to like get a real book experience?
Which film would we go to get a real any of the shape books? Like for instance, View to a Kill.
Oh,
is,
really?
It's a good example of taking. And by the way, that's one of the short stories in that same collection. A really good example of taking from the book all of the key elements. You know, some of them are way off. Let's see.
How about Goldeneye? Well, how'd that one
nonetheless,
do?
Nonetheless, none of them are that bad. If you're reading the books and you're watching the movies, you're never going to go, oh, the book was so much better. So for the most part, these books are relatively short. They're not very good. I don't know. I don't know. I agree. I like the books.
Yeah.
I also like the films.
How many books are there total in the series? Do we know the number on that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, are we only talking about the Ian Fleming books?
Yeah, that's it. Just his.
Because you know, the whole property has been given over to other authors.
I know. It's like Dagwood. Someone else has been drawing that for 30 years. It's like that same thing, right?
It's not even the... Right, so when the original guy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say somewhere around 36 stories.
Good
by
Lord.
Ian Fleming.
Wow.
And that's a guess. I don't have I'm not holding a number. But the books that I read after Fleming stopped writing them were the John Gardner books and the Raymond Benson books, and they were mostly rubbish.
John Gardner.
And
that's kind of like Stephen King and that other guy that writes all those lawyer books that they write like a weekly book.
Grisham is who you're talking about.
Yeah, he writes like a book a week.
That lawyer guy. Okay, I got a question then about whether or not this movie, and no one will know this, I guess, but maybe Randy will have an idea because he's read this book or he knows about it, or he knows about the reference in the name. Are we going to get, what James Bond needs is supervillain dudes with like webbed fingers and one eyeball, and they're pissed off because they were raised on a farm and they finally broke out and built a giant super laser and stuff like that. Are we going to get?
You want to see a James Bond from the 70s or 80s?
Yeah, right? I do.
Really? What I loved about the last movie was that it didn't have that.
Well, they haven't had him for a while. The closest thing was the one just before this one. That had Storm
in
it.
The guy with the diamonds in his face?
Yeah, the Korean guy with the diamonds in his face. That was awesome.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's exactly what I loved about the last one. The last one was really low on gadgets. It was really low on all that stuff. And it was just one angry, pissed off guy that kicked ass. Yeah.
And James Bond cast Rez on himself.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is true. Okay. I don't know who we're getting, but all I know is it's sometimes a lot more fun to have villains that are larger than life. They don't have to be completely ridiculous where they're made out of water or something stupid. But, I mean, they need to be like, I don't know, just explosive in your face, sort of. They need to have a henchman that throws a metal hat and cut your head off. That's what they need.
And with this title, there's no telling what they're going to do, because, like I say, that particular short story is not a Bond movie. It can't possibly be a Bond movie. He's an observer to some. He goes to a dinner party in the Bahamas or Bermuda or something. You know, Fleming was just in love with the Caribbean. And so he goes to a dinner party. He upsets some people, and he kind of sits while this old guy tells a story, seriously. And the entire book,
wow,
the rest of the short story, is an old guy telling a story. I'm telling you, it's really – there's no action. There's really very little drama.
What's the quantum solace?
I have no idea. It's like several of his titles where it just really isn't completely connected to anything.
It's a stupid ass name is what it is. And they need – you know what? Okay, I'll just say one last thing about James Bond. They need – we live in a time now where Octopussy would never make it to screen. Honestly, can you imagine that?
No, it's true. It's true. It's totally true.
And it's not even like we're talking that long ago. I mean, what was Octopussy, 20 years ago? So in 2 decades, we've gone from, that sounds good, to, no way, dude, we couldn't put that out there. We got to call it freaking Quantum of Solace. Let's do that instead.
No, we need to call it the Tentacle of the Vagina. But
like I say, it's all downhill from here. There's a short story called 007 in New York. Do you want that to be the
No, that sounds terrible.
Jamie Takes Manhattan.
That sounds awful. It's really called James Bond in New York or Bond in New York?
007 in New York. That's really the name of one of the short stories, yeah.
What in the hooch? That's crazy.
Sorry.
Is the story good, though?
That's all right.
Dude, I'm going to use you for everything I ever need to know. You've read all the Ian Fleming books? You're crazy.
No, I've listened to all of the Ian Fleming books. I was given the whole collection on tape when I was a teenager.
I remember that. It had two wheels and moved.
Yeah. Something like that. There was a string that goes between them.
All right, I got a question about Ian Fleming. He's dead, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's
it happens.
I just wanted to know. I wasn't sure.
Do we know who the next James Bond chick is?
No. Do we? Maybe we do. Do we? I don't think we do.
No. There's very little.
No, but you'll find out.
I really wasn't crazy about the last one.
Well, she's all right. But you know what?
I mean, no. I mean, I wouldn't kick her out of bed, but...
What I mean is, it kind of fit that the thing you say you liked about the last James Bond, which was, this was a more realistic tale, a more, I don't know, more, what's the word? There is no word, so screw it. But there's some word I'm looking for, and it was a lot more realistic. It was a lot less of this thing that I want, which is webbed fingers and giant lasers. I really want that.
What you want is a serious Austin Powers movie.
Dude, that Jaws guy. Well, that's what the old James Bonds were. And that Jaws guy with the teeth, he's still living, I think. I think he's still around. Pull him out.
Oh, man. I so badly want sports cars that become submarines, and then you do process shots with fish right outside the window.
Thank you. Exactly. I want guys that are super crazy about having giant fish in all the walls and that walk around monologuing for 20 minutes while James Bond's got a laser creeping up to his crotch. Come on.
I have to ask Randy. Randy.
Yes.
Which one would be your favorite James Bond actor, and which one would be the worst?
Ooh, I'm going to take a lot of flack for this.
It's okay. Right. Flack away. If you say Roger Moore, I'm going to cry inside a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, we all take flack for a bunch of stuff.
I'm going to take a lot of flack for this. It's I feel like the only one who ever really got it, although Daniel Craig, the jury's out on him, he may get it. The only one who really got it was George Lazenby. He really, it's like that guy really understood the character. He had no business playing it. He was an Aussie and not a Scot, you know, like everything. But Lazenby just completely understood the character, really got it. Connery, of course, took it way overboard, and that's good. Yeah, you know, that's good. I love Connery as James Bond. Of course, Roger Moore was creepy.
Yeah, and you never could take Roger Moore seriously as a dude that could do anything physical. Like, every time I'd see Roger Moore, I'd go, dude, he's kind of fat and wobbly. He doesn't look like he could really do much.
Couldn't we say the same about Shatner?
Shatner was pretty buff dude back in the Trek days. You can say it about him now, but back in the day.
What does it say? What does it say about my opinion on Lazenby that he only ever made one film, and it was as a stand-in, you know? Yeah. I mean, I understand that this is not a popular opinion. Timothy Dalton was okay.
Yeah.
He had to bear two of the hardest films for them to make, and they really suffered from the 80s mentality about making everything really modern.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, so whatever. Pierce Brosnan.
Which one was he in? Oh, that was the one before Pierce Brosnan.
He was
right?
in License to Kill and The Living Dead.
Yeah. Oh, to me, that one is the one that has the most James Bond appearance. You know, as in physical appearance. To me, that's the guy that has like the most
interesting.
He's the one that looks the most of the gentleman spy.
Yeah.
The killer and so forth. But then you get to slide down a mountain in the case for a big stringed instrument. Anyway, Pierce Brosnan was fine. I wish he had gotten the role back when Dalton did and could have worked more with it.
Yeah.
But Daniel Craig is way out there, you know. He's not a Scott. He's got bright blue eyes. He's difficult for me to handle in the role.
Oh, really? Because I think he is awesome. It's the change that's good for me or something.
Yeah.
I just love it that, I mean, he looks like he can basically kick everybody's ass. And he really looks intimidating. Like, nobody's going to want to mess with him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I suppose, I really wouldn't know, but I suppose that in a way that is truly what would make James Bond so attractive to women. Not the fact that he's physically very attractive, but the fact that he's sort of like this very dangerous, mysterious dude. And in my opinion, Daniel Craig reflects that very well.
Yeah. Now, I got a question for Brian. Brian, do you have a favorite James Bond movie ever made?
No, there's a lot of them.
No,
just the answer I was hoping for. Okay, my second question is
Octopussy because of the title.
Well, not just because of the title. Those dudes had yo-yo saw blades, like table saw blades, dude, with yo-yo strings on them or whatever. That was awesome. That was so awesome. Any of that kind of crazy crap they used to do, I love that stuff. Just eat it.
I just love that that I think those are the ones that are responsible for things today, like Austin Powers and No One Lives Forever and that kind of stuff. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But I really like the road they took on Casino Royale. And I would be really sad if the next movie goes back to what it was before.
They won't. They're sticking with what they got. That movie made a ton of money, and it really from a business standpoint, it totally reinvigorated it. But the bigger question is this: the greatest video game James Bond game ever made by many people's accounts, we'll just call it GoldenEye, but I would like to pose the question to each of you in turn. What would make, which James Bond movie would make a great video game other than GoldenEye?
Oh.
And they've made games for others of them. I'm just saying, which one should either be remade or should be made in general?
Well, it depends on what style of game you're going to make, because... Because to me, if you're going to make a James Bond game, it needs to be a lot more like a Metal Gear game. But still, it has to be more cinematic.
So wait, you mean they need to run around and they need to get motion sick and then look at a porno to clear it out of their head and also cover the crotch of a statue?
No, Scott, come on, please. Let's get out of your Japan is crazy mentality. I'm talking about these games that basically feel
stealth
like they're a movie. No, games that feel like they're a movie, and you just help define parts of the movie.
Yeah.
Because
I'll give you that. That's a good idea.
Casino Royale would really not work in a first-person shooter game.
Yeah. Well, you could build one around it, but I think you, especially that ball sack scene where he's getting hit in the balls.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Come on, who didn't cringe in that scene?
That's terrible.
I'll tell
man.
You. There's two things in that movie. That's one of them. That's one of them where you have to check your gut at the door.
Yeah.
And then the one where you have to check your heterosexuality at the door is when he's emerging from the beach in the mankini. That's just...
Whoa.
Man, that's never been in James Bond.
That scene threatened my marriage. My wife thinks he's the hottest thing ever.
You know, but that it's actually very funny because my reaction when I saw him come out of the sea is... That guy has the muscle structure of a hobo. Really? Really, he does. He does. Check him out. I mean, he's got this weird body.
It's from
built
swimming.
Like a hobo.
It has to be from swimming. He looks like a professional swimmer.
Yeah.
He looks like a hobo. He looks like a hobo that could cook your ass. That's awesome.
I've got an answer to your question.
Please go.
And old man Franks is going to explode because he so disagrees with me on my previous point. But I think the film that would make the best game, on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And the reason is because it has the best ending, as far as I'm concerned, of any James Bond film.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of games that end with this sort of really moving scene, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's actually, that would have been my pick, and I hadn't thought of it till you said it, so that's actually a really good one.
It's really moving.
Are we going to get Q in the next movie? Any bets? Whether or not we get John Cleese in the role of, no, he's not Q anymore, or is he Q? Whatever he is. Doing gadgets and junk, because we got none of that in Casino Royale. We're going to get any of that again, or is that part of that whole web finger, I'm going to kill the world thing?
Yeah, I heard he was totally off. I heard he was one and out. That was the rumor I heard. So
he did two, didn't he?
I think it would be good to have gadgets, just not take it so far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, really, look at the one before Casino Royale. The one, which one was that? The name?
The Diamond
Another Day?
Yeah, the Diamonds in the Face guy, that one.
No, not just that. I mean, the whole huge mansion made out of ice that melts. Yeah. I mean, you're like, oh, yeah. Well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. The car in that movie is really, really corny. And I mean, you got these whole bunch of gadgets that just make it—they just make the movie ridiculous. In the last movie, he had a little bit of gadgets, but they were okay. I mean, they were not over the top. I think they should bring back that character, but just have him go along with the movie. I mean, this is just like the guy in charge of making the gadgets.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I guess I could see John Cleese doing that. I could see him coming back and taking it a little bit more seriously and less of a, you know, here's the pen that it has a nuke in it. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So interesting. Well,
now that I think about it, he wasn't in Casino Royale, was he?
He was not.
He was in the previous two.
The previous two, he was. The last one, he wasn't. There was no Q. There was M, of course. Judi Dench, who I think is great in that role, and I think she should stay on as long as she's breathing.
Yeah. She was. Can I say bitch?
Sure, you can say that.
She was like a total bitch in Casino Royale, and I love that.
No, she's awesome. She's tough. I think she's a great actress anyway, obviously. And I don't even know why she messes with this.
You know what I hated the most about Die Another Day?
What?
I don't know if Randy's going to be with me on this one. But and I don't really know anything about flying a helicopter, but they push a helicopter out of a plane. The helicopter drops I don't know how much. They turn it on and fly away. I really don't know anything about helicopters, but I really do think that was taking it a little bit too far.
You think so?
I mean, there is a big difference between suspending disbelief and just being stupid.
Have you seen Die Hard, though? The new Die Hard's got a bunch of scenes like that just make you smile and glad to know you're in a movie.
Well, no, they make you smile, and they did make me smile, but... This one, and this is the second time I've seen this kind of scene. Also in Charlie's Angels 2, they drop a truck from a bridge with a helicopter tied to it. Then they untie the helicopter while it's dropping, turn it on, and fly away. Seriously.
Well, is that not possible? I don't know enough about...
Somebody tell me. I mean, is there something I don't know here? Can a helicopter do this?
Yeah, I don't know enough about rotary flight to answer that question.
There is no way that's possible.
Oh,
there's
right.
No Thank way.
Thank you.
What, Brian, I mean, Brian, do you subscribe to the idea that that James Bond should continue on the serious path, or should we veer back to the old days of...
Nah, he just hates him because his name is James.
I think right now, honestly, I believe that our society is so we're just so stressed out from all the seriousness of life that I think, yeah, I think some fun, tongue-in-cheek kind of action James Bond would be a good revival. I think it would be accepted.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think they can do it this one. If they do, they have to wean it because they've really set it up for what people should expect and there'd be a lot of pissed off people if they went back to something crazy.
Well,
yeah, they should just have Jason Statham be the 007. And,
sweet dude.
They could just totally go off the wall with that.
You know what? I'll admit freely and openly, I was a Transporter fan. Both movies.
I love Transporter.
Hey, I mean, I love Transporter 1 a lot more than Transporter 2, but
yeah. I like any transporters.
But to be honest, I honestly cannot see myself laughing in a movie with Daniel Craig in it. He just doesn't look like the kind of person that would make you laugh.
No, he's pretty serious, dude. Pretty serious, dude. Well, we'll have to see how it goes. Look for James Bond, Quantum of Solace. I'm sure it won't be called that. That's a really dumb name. But mark my words, and it will not feel any better to say when it's on DVD than it does right now. I swear. That's true.
Okay, segue. Do you know who died?
In what?
I'm just trying to push
you. Oh, you're trying
another...
to segue.
Yes.
I was actually considering skipping this topic, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it anyway. Everybody knows this is not new news. Heath Ledger was found dead in his apartment, or a apartment in Soho in New York. Let's see, what was it, yesterday? Yeah.
2 days.
Two days ago, sorry.
What's the day before?
Yeah, 2 days ago. No confirmation on anything about his death per se, but I thought it would be interesting to bring him up as how it affects Batman. And the reason I bring this up is because it seems to me, and part of it is my juxtaposition, I'm in a position of hearing a lot of just sort of geek chatter. I hear what all of you guys think and what you guys say, and when I say you, I mean you listening and otherwise on the site. And this was a big deal. Heath Ledger dying was a huge deal to everybody. My question is, would it have been as much on your mind or as affecting as it's been had we all not known that he was the Joker in the upcoming Batman Dark Knight film, the Batman sequel coming out in July? And I don't even know if that's worth talking about, but it is interesting to me that, you know, before this, everybody was said, oh, yeah, the guy that was in Brokeback Mountain or the guy that did, you know, that Terry Gilliam movie that wasn't very good or whatever. He's the one that passed away. I don't know that we would have given it as much attention. I mean, you're still sad for him and his family and his little girl and all this stuff's terrible, but are we more interested in the story and more impacted by it because of the Batman thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's true. Randy, you think that's true? Did we lose Randy?
Randy?
He bored him.
He fall asleep?
I hit the mute button to sneeze earlier, and I just realized it was still down.
Excellent. What do you think about what I'm saying? Do you think that's off the base?
I think that Heath Ledger was one of these rising stars. He was really doing well, and so I don't really think that it matters what he had just put in the can, what he was currently making. I think if he had never had anything to do with the Batman film, but had just finished something else, you know. We're still really surprised that this guy died at 28.
Yeah,
and I think it's a crying shame. There's no telling what he would have done.
Oh yeah,
I mean he really is one of a few young actors who had the sort of potential where you could just, if you'd said, well, this is a guy who's going to win two Oscars and he's going to have a long career like Robert Redford or something, you'd go, okay, I could see that.
Yeah,
and there aren't a lot of people that you could make that argument about and you know, laugh out loud.
Yeah.
And he was one of them.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. And I agree with that 100%. All I'm saying is it just seems like it is more impactful knowing what's coming.
You're right, Scott. I think you're definitely right because, we'd all be sad about his death because, you know, he was a young, promising actor. So, yeah, that's sad. But it probably is affecting the whole geek community a lot more because I'm thinking that his role as the Joker probably made a lot of geeks into Heath Ledger fans.
Absolutely. People, you know, I'll tell you what, my interest in the project, as excited as I would have been anyway, because I think the last one was brilliant, I would have been excited no matter who they hired. However, when I heard it was Heath Ledger, I went, oh, that's interesting, and that is going to be, that's not a choice you make lightly for this kind of villain in a film like this, and I'll bet he's amazing. And then when you see the trailer and see the very little work we've been able to see so far that he was able to do, it is really looking good. And I love his portrayal. The short bits I've seen look like they're going to be brilliant. And all of that has made this a much bigger deal to me than I think it would have been normally. And maybe that's a sad state of the way we think. It's just human nature. I don't know what it is. But for whatever it's worth, I think it's a little more impactful to at least the geek community. People really, you know, pining for this film, I think are probably affected by this far more than they would be, you know, otherwise.
Well, you know what's for sure?
What?
I can tell you for sure, his death is going to make this movie 10 times bigger.
Well, it'll definitely do well. I mean, it was going to do well anyway, but yeah.
No, yeah, it was going to do very well, but now that he's dead,
yeah.
Oh, this movie is going to be huge.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if that's good or if that's bad. Hopefully it, you know, lives up to some legacy or whatever, but in the case of, you know, when Brandon Lee got shot on the set of The Crow, I remember that was a huge deal, and they went ahead with the movie anyway, and they finished it up. When Natalie Wood died on the set of, or she didn't die on the set, but when she died in the middle of making Brainstorm, that was a big deal.
The early death that this is best compared to, though, is River Phoenix. You know, someone who had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And that's really what we've lost.
Yeah, not that we're inferring that their deaths are similar in terms of the circumstances of their deaths. Nobody has any idea at this point. However, I agree with you. He's a perfect example of that. And
you know, this makes me, though, this makes me feel very sorry. And this is going to be very cruel, and I'm sorry. But this whole thing makes me feel very sorry for Raul Julia.
Yeah, that guy, his last because, movie he
no,
made
no,
was
look at
Street
it this
Fighter,
way.
Dude.
Yeah, Brandon Lee died and his last movie was The Crow. Heath Ledger dies, his last movie was Batman, which we haven't seen yet, but we all pretty much expect it to rock. Yeah. Raul Julia dies and his last movie was Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's too bad because that guy was a good
awesome
actor.
Movies.
Yeah, he was
good. Yeah, he was amazing. But his last movie was Street Fighter. That's not something you can brag about in heaven.
I also don't think it's cool that while people like Heath Ledger are taken so early, people like Ernest Borgnine are allowed to live. That's all I'm saying.
Whoa, I can't go there. Oh, my gosh.
I just had to end it on a light note.
I just heard a World War II hero veteran.
Was he in World War II?
Yes.
I think he was just in Hogan's Heroes or something.
No, I'm telling you, hero veteran of World War II.
Really? Did he fly around in a helicopter and did you hear no, not that? I have no idea.
No.
All right. Well, then how old is he? He's got to be like 98 or something now.
Oh, he's like 198, but still.
Oh my gosh. All right, Ernest Borgnine's fine. Fine. How about Ned Beatty? Ned Beatty. How about him? Let him go.
Yeah, we could all do without him.
All right. See, I'm telling you, dude. All right. Well, we have gone way over time, folks. This is going to about do it for the show. Thanks to everybody for being here. Thanks to Owen, Brian. Thanks for Randy for stopping by as well. Enjoying having his usual take on film and whatnot. Thanks to the chat room. Thanks for all you guys being here. Thanks to Sebastian for our mashup. You'll hear that in a minute. Thanks to everybody else who called in. We have some calls after the show. A few segments as well. And some good stuff in there, so check that out. Want to thank our sponsors, youbuynow.com, where you can use Extra Life as your code and save money on your next replica purchase or action figure. Man dolls. That's what my wife calls them. I also want to thank GoDaddy.com, where you can use Life 1, Life 2, or Life 3 as your code, and you will save on your next .com domain and lots of other stuff over at GoDaddy.com, so go check them out. We would appreciate it. That's about going to do it, folks. Next week is show number 169. That'll be fun. We'll see you all then.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
I sleep in a tub of Nair.
This is going to be nothing but big fat wrestlers for 2 hours in the cage match of a lifetime.
That's good times.
Name your kid Cylon.
I say unto you, nay. Humper Dinkle. Excellent.
I'm an idiot.
He was the Adama of this show. He does not have internet yet.
The only reason to have Skeet Ulrich on your show is to kill him.
It's as if Nuclear Man and Superman never pushed the moon.
The Terminator cannot shoot worth shit.
No, we want to know if you are a postman and if you would please deliver my letter.
Yeah.
It's a little like chlamydia if you're sleeping around.
Yeah.
That right there is enough for me.
My wife has mucho lusto for Patrick Stewart.
Sigourney Weaver was hot in her underwear. This guy's with machine guns riding around on jet skis.
Hello, Extra Life Radio listeners. This is Rico from TreksInSciFi.com with another review for you. Last Friday, I went to see the new movie Cloverfield with a couple of people, and I have to say I really enjoyed it. This is a different kind of monster movie. Of course, most people out there listening probably already know about it. They know that it involves this kind of handheld camera take on a monster attacking the city of New York, along with some New Yorkers kind of getting in its way. It's not the typical Hollywood blockbuster kind of movie. The actors are fairly unknown. The effects and production values are still good, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I call it kind of a roller coaster kind of a movie. There's a lot of thrills and chills. It's fairly intense at certain points. But it's one of those kind of movies that you're mostly there just for the thrills and, like I said, kind of a roller coaster ride. If you really start picking it apart, you might not enjoy it very much. And the other factor, I know some people are having a little trouble with the handheld camera work, and it's making them a little nauseous. Yeah. But it didn't bother me or anyone else around me that I could tell. So if you can get past that, go check out Cloverfield. It's doing pretty well in theaters, and I think it's the kind of movie, if you're interested in it, that you'd want to see on the big screen with a crowd. I think you'd get a little bit more out of it that way. Of course, I was also there to see the new Star Trek teaser trailer that was accompanying the film at the very beginning. Very short, a little more than a minute. Didn't show very much, but it got me even more excited to see the new Star Trek film that will be premiering and coming out next Christmas. I think that's about it for this week. Everyone, I will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.
Fascinating.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. Today's movie, Futurama, Bender's Big Score.
This holiday season, a story that began with the greatest tragedy in television history.
We were canceled? I'm afraid the brainless drones who run the network canceled our license. Yes, I see. Good news, everyone! Those asinine morons who canceled us were themselves fired for incompetence. Not just fired, but beaten up, too. And pretty badly.
We're back, baby!
The new morons at Fox proudly present Futurama in an all-new feature-length adventure. Bender's Big Score.
Boom.
Coming any second now on DVD.
Nah, it's just me, Bender.
The universe is doomed. Doomed!
Can I pull up my pants now?
Doomed!
Buy it. Buy it.
Now, I've been a huge fan of Futurama ever since the first season, and I've always felt that it was superior to The Simpsons during its run on TV. And I was amazed and sad when Fox pulled the plug on it, so I'm definitely one of the fans who have been waiting quite a while for its return. When I heard that Groening and crew were coming out with 4 full-length, straight-to-DVD releases of Futurama, I couldn't wait for them to come. Now, after seeing the first one, Bender's Big Score, I think back to something I said when The Simpsons movie came out. TV shows just shouldn't be made into movies. And I think I know the reason. Since you are already familiar with the characters and the setting of the show, and each character's strengths and flaws, you don't need to build that in a movie. And all movies have at least 15 to 20 minutes of at least, the exposition of setting the scene up, getting to know the characters as they're revealed to you. So what happens when a TV show does turn into a movie? It naturally feels too long. And this is the case with Bender's Big Score. Groening and crew still show that they know what they're doing. There's some very funny bits in the movie, but because they have more time to fill because of the lack of setup, it really starts to drag. And as it got closer to the end of the movie, I was actually getting kind of bored. Not only that, but it involves huge amounts of time travel. Yuck. I hate time travel movies. And this is coming from a huge Futurama fan. It's my 3-year-old's favorite show, and that shows you how much I love the show. I wish they had done a bunch of new episodes instead of movies. Now, does that mean I hated the movie? No, I enjoyed it. I just feel a little let down considering how great the episodes were. Bender's Big Score is unrated, but probably would have received a PG or PG-13 rating for language and carefully concealed cartoon nudity.
Hello, Extra Life Radio. Festworks here. I want to talk about Portal and Half-Life 2. We all know Black Mesa and Aperture Science are of the same universe and same time, but what of a crossover between Portal and Half-Life 2? I'm talking franchise crossover, not a notion of cameos and references in each game. A direct crossover may not work as best because each franchise is so different from each other. But I think I have an idea of how it could work out for the best. You could have a Half-Life 2 episode where Gordon Freeman would be following Chell through her direction as a sort of Prince of Persia Sands of Time team puzzle solver level. Or even Gordon could have the portal gun for just one level and not be too ridiculous with changing the gameplay too much for Half-Life 2. And in a separate portal game or level, you would be controlling Chell instead through the same exact scenario. This will keep each franchise separate from each other without altering the gameplay too far from each game's roots.
And now, word of advice from Old Man Franks. You give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. Give a man a shotgun, and he'll keep them nerd kids off his lawn, darn it!
Hey, Scott's a doo-doo head.
Hey, Scott, this is Andrew from Vegas. Just found out today Heath Ledger died. Holy crap. Kind of sucks. I kind of liked him.
Hey, Scott. It's Brandon from Texas. Funny story for you. I was in Sam's Club tonight, and I bought a case of IBC root beer. Upon getting it home, I started to unwrap it and put the bottles away and put some in the fridge when I accidentally dropped one of them, spilling root beer and broken glass all over the floor. In the midst of cleaning it up, I accidentally poked myself in the thumb with one of the glass shards. Didn't think about it too much, kept cleaning, only to realize later that my thumb was bleeding somewhat profusely. All I could think of to say when I saw it was, "Now that is unfortunate." Have a great show. Bye.
One day I met a leprechaun, and the leprechaun said to me,
Hey, Extra Life listeners, Chris here, bringing you an obscure movie review of Series 7, The Contender.
We've locked them in a house and watched what they would do. We've left them on an island and seen if they could last. But what if the contestants were armed?
My boyfriend shot me this bulletproof vest. I think it shows how much he cares about me.
And there could be only one.
I'm going to win.
Real survivor.
There's a bomb in your house and it's going to blow.
Series 7.
I'm going to get you, Connie!
Rated R.
Series 7 is shot in the style of a marathon run of a reality TV show called The Contenders. The show is a satire into how far reality TV could go, all in the name of ratings, where the premise of the show is kill or be killed, with the only reward is your life. The show is in its seventh season when it begins and stars Dawn, played by Brooke Smith. Dawn has survived the other six shows in the series and is 8 months pregnant. She's dropped off in Connecticut, where the other five players have been randomly picked by a lottery using the government-issued ID, basically their social security number. All the contenders are issued a gun and are monitored 24/7 with microphones, GPS locators, and their own cameraman. Other than that, they're all on their own. Series 7 has good character development, where you really get to know how far the characters can and would go before they get to their breaking point. They cut back and forth between all the characters, but mostly focuses on Dawn. The movie has a nice flow, with breaks every 15 minutes or so to signal the spots where commercials would be played, and then picks up with recaps of what happened within the previous 15 minutes. Most of the actors are somewhat unknown, most have had small parts in movies, and the majority of them have been on multiple episodes of the Law & Order series shows. Overall, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. The editing makes it feel like you're watching an actual marathon run of a show like Survivor, with ongoing interviews with the contenders and cuts going back and forth between the different players. If you're a fan of the whole Survivor phenomenon, then you should enjoy this movie. Series 7 is not filled with blood and violence, but is more geared towards character development. Overall, I'd give this movie an 8 out of 10. Since this movie came out in 2001, you're probably not going to find it in most stores, but it is available on Amazon.com. You can rent it on Netflix, and I'm sure there's various other online retailers that will carry older shows. This is Chris, and this has been my obscure movie review of Series 7, The Contender.
What'd you think of... They're not going to say, what'd you think of Quantum? I'm going to say, freaking screw you, and don't ever say that name again, because it's stupid. It's stupid.
No, I mean, you're just the same as Brian that hates Steam because it's called Steam.